blessings of
love and respect we offer to all,
in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
Namah.
All formations are transient
and anicca.
All formations are subject to suffering,
dukkha.
All things are without a self,
anatta.
In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path.
by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
With this recitation,
I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
With this recitation,
I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
Here
in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are near
to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning?
Yes, sir. Just having such a nice time. I mean, I suppose it's a little hard not to with this weather.
Oh, no, such a nice time. This is to be had.
Yeah, I mean, really, this morning, the temperature was like the middle of summer.
Uh-huh.
Like a morning is in the middle of summer. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Just, wow. That air is like... How can it be?
It's just maybe in that place of just wow.
But actually, just really, so many things I'm appreciating about practice. Mm-hmm. And that when there are times like this, it's so funny how the voices are like, well, yeah, I mean, sure, because blah, blah, blah. And yet, I've watched over the last whatever period of time, these kind of karmic things begin, and that the image I used for it recently was that it feels like, so the storms start to come in and the mentor just opens all the windows, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I, what's so neat about it is that, so having a pretty long stretch of just a lot of quiet and distinct lack of drama, just, a lot, I noticed since I got home from Africa, and there was just, in a way it's a gift, that transition. It can be, in the sense of there's so much, you know, there's a ton of unpacking to do, and details here, details there. Meanwhile, there's a ton of stuff that's built up while I've been gone. Meanwhile, just because of transitions physically of what I'm, you know, in my life, there's a ton of stuff here and a ton of, you know, just like a lot of everything.
Yeah, a lot of content, you mean, that could, that's there from all of these circumstances having come together in this trip and everything like that.
And there's so much of it
that
it's impossible to get on top of it, which is the gift part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I watch is, or what I watched for those several weeks, is this just complete relaxation and letting go around... I mean, I didn't even think about it this way because I think it was just happening, but just this sense of life would literally put the next thing in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, like, this, you need to get in the car and go do this right now.
Uh-huh.
Sure, great. You know, I remember I had to, Ashwini called me about one thing, can you do this? And I was like, sure. And then she called back and said, now does that work with your blah, blah, blah? And I was like, I don't even know. So what difference does it make? You know?
Life hasn't told me that yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in the sense of like, do I have the time? I mean, no. You know, no way. If I was going to look at, I've got like 3 days worth of things to do today. But do I? Well, not really.
Uh-huh.
Because which ones of them really have to get done? I got to feed the dogs. I got to eat lunch.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this thing that we just figured out has to happen. Let's do that
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's just been this incredible relaxation around that.
Yeah.
So what I watched was, it's happened twice. Yesterday was one of the days, and then, I don't know, another time recently, where suddenly that wasn't the experience.
Oh.
And the experience was irritation and pushed and busy and just, And I thought, that's so interesting. What's the difference? And so what I saw, because what really caught my attention was how I felt like I was interacting with other people.
Uh-huh.
Even silly stuff like, you know, driving down the road and, you know, I feel like I'm in a rush and the person ahead of me has to take a left-hand turn. And it's like, I can't believe you're taking a left-hand turn. You know, like, it's not even like someone cut me off or, you know, did something that you quote from
me. Out of my way.
Yeah, it's like, taking a left-hand turn? How dare you need to take a left-hand turn, you know? But what I realized is I'm totally being pushed internally.
Mm-hmm. Being pushed.
That there's this, suddenly, there's this agenda that ego has come in and identity has come in to set it all up, to make a plan, and here's how it has to go.
Uh-huh.
And anything that gets in the way of here's how it has to go is a huge problem.
Uh-huh.
And then there's this process of irritation and short-tempered and blah, blah. And then, of course, there's self-hatred or look at you, why are you being that way?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and it's so perfect that you started out with that you're just enjoying all the elements of practice because life has set it up where you're getting a clear look at both of them.
Exactly, such a clear contrast.
Yes, mm-hmm. And no confusion. I mean, no confusion, no judgment.
Right.
It's just there's this experience that you described with life just putting it right in front of you. Okay, now this. Okay, now this. And then there's the experience of being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the human who's practiced and has got just tons of experience and presence to bring to this workshop,
mm-hmm.
and she's getting to see real clearly mm-hmm. which what feels like what.
Yeah.
And really, that's kind of where it ends, isn't it? You just get the experience of both.
Yeah, and I think what you said is key, that I can't remember how you phrased it, but that there's an acceptance of all of it.
Yes.
And not even necessarily a preference for one or the other. I mean, there is, but that's sort of, the awareness is bigger than that, too.
Yes. That's and why it stopped. And then that's where it stops. Because if you slide the preference in, then we shrink from that awareness that's big enough to hold it all to being back in that cycle of...
Yes, and it's key that there is a preference, and that's not a problem either, but it's just that the awareness is bigger than that preference.
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, who could blame you?
I mean, of course there's a preference.
It is much more fun to be in that like relaxation and that, but that the awareness is bigger than that, and I think that's what I mean when I say, I've just been enjoying so much, because as those things come through, and then the awareness sees them relatively quickly.
Yes.
And then picking up that recorder and recording about it, and then there's such an incredible lit up experience that comes from that, because it's like, oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah.
No wonder that's been happening. No wonder that pattern's in place. No wonder, you know, all of that happens. And then by the end of the recording, it's like, wow, you know, what ego was attempting to do, which, you know, who could blame it, because it's worked for God knows how many kalpas, right, is to set up this suffering experience. So it's done all that, and it began to be successful with that, but then in the awareness seeing it, not only was it not successful, but in fact, it was seen through in such a huge way that it no longer has the same kind of power that it's had.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, because... And it can continue to do what it does because that's just what it does. It's just the way that system works.
Right.
And the lit up experience, it sounds like it comes from being the awareness that holds it all and being able to talk about it in the recorder, listen to it, see it, not get attached, but to rather hold it all, even the preferences, even the this, even everything.
Yeah. Two things as you say that. One was, so yesterday when I was, I mean, there was a lot, you know, there was a lot like on a timetable yesterday things were fitting into a pretty, you know, these spaces where it needed to go with that, right?
Yeah.
But it was, as I was really being pushed, I guess is the best way to say it, sort of needing to race through, and then we're starting to report about that and seeing that, I suddenly realized there was this key thing that I had set an appointment time for a certain time that I realized that's artificial.
Uh-huh.
That I'm pushing towards that, and I'm making a huge assumption that it has to be that way. So I picked up the phone and I made a simple call, and it was like, oh yeah, sure, okay. Uh-huh. And I mean, it was like, wow. Suddenly, everything shifted from like, no, you can't stop and use the facilities. You don't have time to, to like, of course you can.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can do that, and then there's this other thing that needs to happen on the way, and that can happen, no problem.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, suddenly it goes from being pushed to, so I guess what I mean is that it feels like, oh, there's processing content, and that always on the process level we have that option to relax and let go. But so often, even on the content level, when I see what there is to be seen,
yes,
there's something that shifts on the content level,
yeah,
that opens it up.
Yeah. So when you see what there is to be seen, something shifts on the content level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the
assumptions
that
have backed us into that corner get seen through.
Boy, it's the assumptions. That's what I was seeing too, is that as soon as you recognize that, oh, I've assumed that appointment is hard and fast.
Yeah.
And as soon as that was like, wait a minute, that was then facilitated the picking up the phone call, facilitated the, and then everything else could flow from that. So it's seeing those assumptions.
Yeah, and as you say that, I feel like I've seen Sherry model so many times. See if I can say it. These are my words for it, my interpretation, but modeling, there's nothing more important than being present.
Yeah.
And so, again, through the activities that I was doing, everywhere along the way, so I'll just, like an example was, I was picking up sawdust for us, and so I was shoveling the sawdust into the barrels, and I saw this tiny little thing, ego's thing of, you need to get as much sawdust as you can get. You need to fill each barrel as much as you can fill it, and you need to fill every single barrel. And you need to, blah, blah, you need to, you need to, you need to. And I realized, well, that's not true. I can fill them to the point where I can still manage them easily. And to where I can be more or less on time for lunch back at the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And just that, it's like, well, I mean, efficiency. No.
Gotta get the most bang for your buck. You're here. You gotta get, maximize the.
And how many times I've seen the guide do something that just feels like, whoa.
Yeah.
We've made this whole plan and everything's all set up for it, and then the one thing, something happens that makes it not make sense in the present moment, and that's, okay, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. All right.
And the way that ties back in with there's nothing more than being present,
mm-hmm,
is that it's only in presence that those one things can drop in, and the human can actually be there to respond.
Yeah. It's extraordinary, and the thing I was watching yesterday, I was either recording or listening pretty much the entire time, and that as I was listening to recordings, and they, various ones would come up from years ago, or last month, or this morning, or whatever, and seeing how the different places we are in practice, I see different things in my recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same way we talk about, like, reading something that you read 10 years ago, mm-hmm, and you read it again today. And I saw the same thing in my own recordings. Like, I listened to a recording I made 3 years ago, and it's suddenly mirroring something for me that's happening in this process that I'm describing today that I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
But it's right there embedded in that recording
that's
reflected for me. It makes it such an extraordinary process.
It really does, doesn't it? I don't know if this is where you go, but it's like, being so cared for.
Mm-hmm.
That there it is. It was there 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's here today. I'm seeing it. It's being reflected in everything in my life. And it just goes to there really is nothing wrong.
Yeah, it's like it's as if this whole database, this whole archive of information and clues about this person, which is about life.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're basically looking at the process of suffering and the process of freedom, and it's the same for all of us.
Yeah.
And so for each of us with our recordings, it's like we, life, has created this archive for us to just be informed by.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is really amazing. Thank you. Amy.
Really glad to be here this morning. And I've been really appreciating being in the privileged environment. And just really grateful.
A lot of the privilege of being here.
Yeah, and being in the space of the privileged environment just really helps clarify the processes that I get hooked by. In interactions that are not within the privileged environment. And I've been looking at one in particular, which is, it's sort of around being nice, is how it's sort of being framed, but it can be framed in a way where it's spiritual, like compassionate or kind or like the right spiritual way to be or something like that. But what it feels like I've been catching on to is that it's like it feels like there's a part of me or this being is being like sacrificed in the process of meeting some external standard, which is really an internal standard projected
outward.
And it gets framed as it's like being nice or kind or generous, but it's so not helpful.
Yeah, and it's not really you.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not really, so it's an identity. So there's this internal standard that gets labeled, you know, being the right spiritual person, being kind, being compassionate. That's what this looks like, this identity. It's nothing that's coming, it's like anything's coming from the moment. It's just this, like, this standard. And then what's happening is the human gets sacrificed to meet that standard because when you're out interacting in the world, this sort of gets put over what's the right thing to do in that moment, or the right way to be. So the human who wants to be present, who's practicing, whatever, sort of gets shoved aside for this. No, we got to live through this identity. And the privileged environment is revealing that. It's, you know, it's kind of making that visible.
Well, I think it's been increasingly visible to me. Sort of, it's more like right after the fact. I'm not quite in real time with it yet. Or even in real time, I can kind of see there's sort of this a sense of it, but that the default is to act out of that. The default is to say yes when there's maybe an inner nudge to say no, or because that seems like the nice thing to do.
So there's a little bit of a lag time that you're seeing. That there's a push to say yes when maybe there's an inner nudge to say no, and then kind of a little split second afterwards you're seeing it.
So it feels like a place to practice. I'm not sure what that would look like specifically in these certain circumstances that I'm thinking of, but maybe even with a let me get back to you, or like to give myself that little bit of not going with that jerk reaction.
So to practice with that now that you're seeing it, mm-hmm. and to allow the human to set up something like just kind of get a little phrase in mind like mm-hmm. let me get back to you, mm-hmm. that gives the human time to see, mm-hmm. and get maybe mm-hmm. really clear on what the nudge is, yeah. and then so in that way it's actually doing the opposite of what that pattern is doing. So before it was sacrificing the human, mm-hmm. now it's actually embracing mm-hmm. what does she need, mm-hmm. and giving her that just that one little shift.
Yeah.
Give me some time to.
Yeah, because it feels like at least in this moment, like the clarity is there. It's just it's not there in those moments, yeah. like where
when you get that question. So the clarity is there. It's just in that time, in that real kind of real time, mm-hmm. it is elusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or it's just there's that that identity that is the default actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. the default identity actor that comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of sneaks in there really fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying to practice giving some time, kind of mm-hmm. slowing down the response time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seems like a kindness mm-hmm. to, or a kink in that system, because system really depends. I mean, it's really very dependent on it happening fast mm-hmm. because the clarity is there.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anything to slow it down is working on the side of the human.
Mm-hmm.
I love that last conversation. It was so helpful.
Uh-huh.
I love Sangha.
I know, isn't it the best?
It's amazing. It's so amazing how, you know, other people can like articulate things that are completely my experience, or just kind of bring something to light that I hadn't quite seen. It's like, wow, thank you.
And they say it so clearly how I'm experiencing it. How do you know?
Yeah. But that last conversation, I was just seeing like, oh my gosh, I have this experience as a, kind of this identity. The type 9 and the Enya type, the peacemaker, just that's so addicted to being nice
mm-hmm.
and being accommodating to other people, and was totally willing to throw this human under the bus, or just in order to kind of meet these standards of being nice, being accommodating, not being a problem, not being, not having any needs, and that kind of thing. And I've seen so much about this stuff as I've looked at it over the years and seen how, that whole identity of I'm a nice guy,
mm-hmm.
it's such a such a lie, and it's such a setup for major problems, because there's really nothing nice in that program. There's mm-hmm. nothing authentic in it. Mm-hmm. It's when I'm behaving in a way that, the voices say is nice for other people. This person feels abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
There winds up being resentment towards the other person, and if it kind of goes on long enough, it just kind of festers into some really not nice behavior.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, this isn't working.
Yeah.
You know? It's not working because the authentic being doesn't feel cared for and loved, and there really isn't any authentic connection.
Yeah.
And so I've seen that's not a helpful program. And then I've kind of too been in that place of seeing it after the fact, uh-huh. like, oh, there I went, like maybe an hour later, it's like, oh, I totally did that.
Uh-huh.
I did that nice guy thing, because suddenly I'm feeling like burdened or resentful or something. I'm like, wait, what's going on? And then, oh, I totally just said yes to this thing that I completely,
Yeah.
And So the things I've been seeing about it was you know, as far as what to do, because I see that program clear. It's like, okay, I see, you know, I get it. Like,
that's what, huge in itself.
That's amazing. Uh-huh. And it's the fruit of, you know, years
of practice.
Practice and, you know, bringing conscious attention to this. And so just to see that is amazing. And now it's this kind of like, it's not really a problem, but it's like, it happens after the fact. And it's like, I see that. And then it's just kind of like very gradually with practice over time, bringing, shrinking that time gap from like, you know, it used to be weeks or never, to weeks, to days, to hours, to like getting closer and closer to real time, to an opportunity where there's a gap in the place where there's a choice for a different behavior. And then that gap, you know, it's, and 3 days before I came here, I had this radical experience of, it was assisted from someone else, but there was a real-time change of behavior, and I got to see so much. I was with a friend who knows me really well, and I got a call from my dad, and we had planned like a family dinner. It felt really important to me because I was going to be going away for a year, and I really wanted some quality time with my family, and it was just going to be us. And then I got a call from my dad. He was like, hey, just wondering if you mind if I invite, you know, my buddy Jack over for dinner tonight. Jack's Israel. He's a great guy with a super loud mouth, kind of tends to take over the whole
evening.
The whole evening would be all about Jack. I was like, you know, like instantly, I knew. I was like, oh gosh, Dad. Yeah. You're like, I don't want Jack to come. And I totally had experience. I'm like, how could you even think that that's a good idea? And I was like, yeah, sure, totally, that's fine. No big deal. And my friend was like, bang, just punched me in the ribs, like, are you kidding?
Really like it.
Yeah, and I was like, well, Dad, hold on, let me call you right back. I'm like, what? You're totally doing that thing. You did that with me, and it didn't work out very well, so like, and
oh, that's a
good
friend.
Like, wow, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Yeah. And what I got to see was the other part of that, so the two parts in the one is bringing it to real time.
Uh-huh.
So how helpful to have a friend, you know, a real person to do that. But it could also be the mentor with the earbuds, you know, and just keeping that in the front of the awareness, like, you know, when you feel those sensations, that major resistance, and, you know, everything in you is saying no, but then you go to say yes, you know, key in. That's the one thing. But the other thing is, the change of behavior felt like non-survival.
Oh.
It is non-survival to that identity. It was like, oh my God, I can't say no.
Yeah.
Like, who would I be then?
Yeah.
You know? Or like, I would be some kind of horrible, awful person that says no and actually has his own needs.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I felt like that massive resistance, and it felt like, it's really frightening, and like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, and, you know, with the encouragement from a friend, and it's just like, and, you know, kind of being on this awesome kind of role of practice, like, I'm practicing new behaviors, and without a change in behavior, there's no change in consciousness. So I was like, okay, hey, Dad, you know, I love Jack, he's an awesome guy, but this, it really meant a lot to me to be able to have this dinner just with you guys, because I want some real quality time with you before I leave for a while, and, you know, I hope that's all right. And he was like, I was like, oh God, what's going to happen? Yeah. He's like, no problem, sweetie. You know? He's like, I'll give him a call right now. No biggie. Wow. You know, we'll all have a dinner with Jack next week. And I was like, huh. Well, that wasn't a problem at all. And then like, wow. And then everything unfolded. It was like, oh my gosh. No wonder I'm kept from this change of behavior. Because suddenly, the old behavior, I would have said yes. Then I would have felt super resentful.
Yes.
I've been like, Dad, how could you?
Uh-huh.
You know, this means so much to me, and you should know that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, how could you, this means you don't care about me.
Yeah.
So, and then being really angry at Jack, and then super resentful about Dad, and then leaving on this really bummer note.
Yes.
And with the change of behavior, I really gave my dad this wonderful opportunity to give the gift of his presence and full attention to me, and to be able to receive it, and instead of feeling resentment, to feel gratitude and love.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. I mean, it was this tiniest little change in behavior, in a completely different world.
Yes, I mean, not yet tiny, but huge, right? Change in behavior. Yes, and not only did you give that gift to your father, but you gave that gift to the self, to the human. You know, it was like the mentor. Yeah, you had that great friend who punched you in the ribs and said, "What are you doing? You're doing that race guy thing again." But there was that. Well, hold on, let me call you back. Mm-hmm. That was you. That was the human, the mentor, whoever. Yeah. That which supports taking in what is there in the moment to do and taking a stand. Because you know what? You could have just said, "Okay, talk to you then," hung up, and not responded, except way after the fact, and continue with that whole karmic process. But there was that interjection where you stood up and you took some action right then in that moment with the, "Let me call you back."
It's so great. You know, it's what we're all doing here as, you know, as practitioners. It's the willingness to, you know, to not just hear the Dharma, but to take a step. Say, me too. Yeah. I'm gonna try this.
And it totally saved that human being in that moment.
Completely.
The human was saved.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, it's not a overstatement to say it was a completely different world.
Exactly.
I went from being this victimized little resentful kid to being an adult, you know, free, happy, fulfilled, receiving love, taking care of his own needs, asking for what he needs for, and then giving another person that he loves an opportunity to give and receive love. And I mean, it's completely different.
You know, it's even a little bit better. It's even better than that, is that when you were in that, you were went from the kind of the victim, resentful, to the human, the kindness, the compassion. In that moment, really, all sentient beings are saved because there's no self in it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, all the tests, it had that feel.
Yes.
I mean, it has this, like, a completely different world. Everything in the universe changed, shifted in that little, change of behavior. Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's so awesome. And, you know, that would normally be a circumstance that I would, like, hate or avoid. Like, this is this uncomfortable circumstance. But knowing this, it's like, it kind of makes me want to seek them out. It's I want to seek out those opportunities where I'm going to have a chance to practice that awareness and that different behavior.
Yeah. It's exciting. We get so hooked on changing worlds that we seek out those opportunities to step into the big, expansive world.
And happily, they're everywhere.
They, unfortunately, we are in no shortage of those opportunities. Yeah, really.
It's cool.
It's great. Thank you. Sequoia.
Well, that's great. I have this image of the mentor as someone who will poke you in the ribs. You know, it's just
a punch.
A punch. You know, it's just that. You know, it's just a great image because, the mentor isn't always nice, but, just there to say, remember where we're going.
Yeah.
So that's just a really helpful image. And a couple things came up in the discussion this morning. One is just the talk about the privileged environment reminded me of yesterday having the opportunity to go to be with flowers. And there were more people than flowers, it felt like to me. And, you know, and having all of this come up, do they have to drive motorcycles here? Do they have to, just all of the stuff that was, taking from, actually, the first experience just coming around the corner and seeing this field of daffodils, it was real heart opening, and then getting, it's like, well, I want this at the monastery. It's just like all these preferences about how it was, and then I don't know, the gift of it for me was to just this total projection, but oh my gosh, there's nothing here but a field of flowers and people are coming in droves. to see and sit with flowers. I mean, that just feels like, in a way, the essence of the privileged environment. You know, something in the heart is just pulling or calling to just come and be with something that has, you know, there are no roller coaster rides, or there's no, you know, it was just, folks planted these flowers out of love. And that's what folks want to just, are just kind of, you know, drawn for, drawn to. So that was a gift. That was a gift for me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And to see, to be with that experience, you know, to step out of the irritation with all of the crowds and the noise and all of that, and to be with the heart opening when the flowers are seen, and the, and really, the whole situation is seen, is surveyed. Yeah. Okay, all that's here is a field of flowers, and look at all these hearts that are drawn to this field.
It's interesting too. I mean, it's what we always say: how quickly conditioning just comes in to take away that initial experience. A whole lot of
It felt that heart opening, and tried to climb it down, but it doesn't sound like it was successful.
Anyway. Yeah. And the other thing about karma, boy. It's been up. And, you know, I talked recently about having this, I don't know how to describe it, but it just feels like a gift of being able to step outside of a really big chunk of karma and just stand out away from it and to realize I didn't have to, like, participate with that. And it was so... and realizing that that doesn't mean that's that it's done, you know. And so another, it's pretty amazing. It seems like they're just coming on the heels of, you know, one another really fast, and it seems like each one feels a little bit bigger. And I'm just seeing that somebody really wants to say the content, you know, just because. And then I'm looking at that, and it's a little bit about the drama, you know, and wanting to, what I would do before practice is, like, you know, run around and try to get everybody on my side for this, you know, isn't this really, you know, bad karma? Isn't this, you know? And so that's the gift, to be able to just see that going on, and make different choices.
So what you're doing instead of kind of going for the drama and kind of swimming in that a little bit in whatever way you would have done, is to stay with the process of these big karmic patterns coming up, and then you getting through them and transcending them, and then the next one on its heels, maybe a little bigger, is coming up, and that process is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the process, and also two things. It felt like, as Karen was talking about this morning, in that stepping outside of the karma, a bunch of energy got freed up. A bunch of energy, and I could see that, wow, this was just, has been a drain for probably, I mean, for as long as I can remember, this energy has been draining off through this particular piece of karma. And then having this, I don't know, and this energy just seemed to be freed up to see things a little more clearly as like process. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, I've been, we've been talking about process for a long time, you know. And suddenly it's just clearer to me, you know. It's like, wow, you know. And then, so then having this other thing and saying, oh my gosh, I see it now. It's the exact same process as that other thing, you know, and that other thing, and that other thing.
And a real willingness to step back from the content and into the process over and over again, which makes the insight and the seeing it really falling in very deeply, and getting the added benefit of getting that energy freed up, and it sounds like really feeling it, feeling the energy.
Yeah, And, yeah, such a big, I don't know, just a lot of gratitude. Feels like there's more access to unconditional love than there was prior to, you know, this happening.
Uh-huh.
And somebody wants to figure this out now. How do I, you know, as a game player.
And we know who that is, right?
How the heck are they supposed to know how? I did it this way in that situation, and then I got da-da-da-da, and, you know.
So let's get a little blueprint of how this works,
this is going to go. But it seems like it's just knowing that it's possible.
Just knowing that it's possible.
Yeah, and
with no attachment to, and I want it again.
Yeah.
And I want it all the time.
Yeah.
Just
knowing that it's possible. It's knowing that, it's just knowing that it, and it has to, it comes back to this being. It's just knowing that it is, there is unconditional acceptance and unconditional love available for this being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
hold that.
Yeah.
You kind of stop there as the mind tries to go forward with its other plans, to just stop there with unconditional love for this being. Unconditional love for this being.
Yeah. And apparently it doesn't stop everything from doing what it does. You know?
You mean the karmic pattern?
The karmic pattern and all the externals, they're just going to keep on, keep on keeping on.
Yeah, it doesn't stop the machine.
It doesn't
stop
the machine.
Just saves the human.
Yeah. That's great. It doesn't stop the machine.
Saves the human.
And just being able to see that is a machine. And you don't have to get on board. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, it is like, whoa. Oh, that's big.
That's just amazing. So,
yeah. A lot of it related to that, and opening the doors to the storm, and you know, the system can do what it's going to do, is these things that have been mentioned today that are related to something out that just dropped in for me yesterday on the way to Daffodil Hill, and I was listening, and I had one of these moments happen where I just had to stop the recorder, and I was like, whoa.
That's big.
You know, and then I just spent like 20 minutes in this, whoa. I think I'm still kind of there.
Uh-huh.
I'll see if I can follow it through here. So I was looking at I was listening to a recording I made after a group last week when I was talking about what I've been calling the interpreter and whatever. And I was looking at this one experience of self-hate, which has played out in the past and led to pretty major experiences of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to figure out this one piece of it, and I'm not trying to figure out, but I was just looking at in this recording, what's the payoff for this one response? And the response is, so there'll be this really intense feeling, which is what I was talking about in group last week, that if there's a really intense feeling of anger, so we'll say shame, comes up, and the karmic system would have the person do one of two things, and one, which is what I mentioned last week, is just either escape by any means necessary. Just get away from this feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a typically distraction or coping behavior of some kind. But what I didn't talk about, which was, it was such an obstacle for me to see how I could fit into this practice with this thing, is that there's also another tendency to just sort of, the ego would just sort of wrap itself in that feeling, and of, in this case, shame.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a trying to get away from it. There was just such a total resignation. There was just this
feeling that there was nothing to be done. And so the beatings and all the self-hate that resulted from it weren't in an effort to get the person to be the good, right person. It was to reinforce this feeling.
Mm-hmm. Of resignation. That this is
of being the bad person that deserves this thing. Mm-hmm. And just suddenly I think what I'm seeing is that there's the primary feeling there's in looking at shame. There's the shame, and it's very uncomfortable. I want to get away from it. The conditioned mind really wants to get away from it. But if that feeling gets either too intense that I can't get away from it, or if the coping behaviors and distractions don't work anymore, mm-hmm. then the feeling of needing to get away from it becomes more uncomfortable than the shame.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's really the same process. Mm-hmm. It's the needing to get away from something, but it turns into needing to get away from the need to get away from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way to get away from it, from that, is either to get away from it or to just accept, to resign oneself totally to it.
Yeah.
And it just feels really, really big to me to see that it's about, that it's a process of resistance, even though it manifests as a kind of resignation.
Yeah.
And it just really feels like the place to practice is in acceptance, but I'm looking at the word that really seems appropriate is allowing. Just allowing whatever is to be, and to really see that the karmic process, which is fundamental to like this whole system of suffering, is this aversion to feeling. Is that is the key. It's not the feeling.
Yeah.
It's the resistance to it. It's the wanting to get away from it.
Yes. Yes. So the wanting to get away from it, the resistance, the aversion, is the linchpin that holds everything in place. Because it can either go to, okay, I'm going to do the coping mechanisms and hopefully those will work this time or whatever, but it just reinforces that, again, that resistance. Okay, good, that worked. Or it can go the other way, which that doesn't work or it's not available, you can't, so you just got to take a dive and just endure it, just kind of curl up and submit or resign to that, to the beating. But it's the resistance to the sensation in the first place that leads to both of those very suffering places.
Yeah, which just seems like an insight that just sort of, it offers me a theory as to how this process of suffering works that mm-hmm. like no other theory has seemed to take it all into account. Because it just never seemed to make sense to me. It's like, yeah, I get it. I feel something uncomfortable, I want to get away from it, distraction, coping. Yeah. But then why does the person go this other route in this other case where this whole other thing happens, which actually seems to be, as the years have gone on, a bigger piece of it. And so yeah, it just seems really huge that the need to get away from the thing becomes more uncomfortable than the thing itself.
Yes.
And so it's the needing to get away from the need to get away from it.
Yes. It's a big disidentification from the attention being on the thing itself. Why do I do this? What's the coping? Whatever that is. There's a whole resistance process happening here that I hadn't been able to see before. That is really the thing that's holding it all. That's the thing. And so, it's that bigger perspective that you moved into that was that enabled you to see it, to disidentify from the former kind of way that you dealt with that pattern to a bigger picture of it, a bigger perspective?
And that's really helpful, because it's only in moving to that bigger perspective that this was available, and moving to this bigger perspective, broader perspective, happened around other series of things that I've been looking at, and then it's enabled the process of beginning to look at, you know, other things as well. So that's the bigger meta insight, which has happened, process that's happening, which is shifting to that place from which I saw this thing.
Yes. And just to put kind of link it back to the previous conversation, which is it would have us all about the content, but what you're seeing is no, it's really the process of stepping back into that larger perspective. And then I see it here and here and here, and mm-hmm. the content can kind of cycle through. But the process is what is the freeing, if you would, or the, you know, enlightening element.
Yeah. And you're just allowing.
Yeah.
A lot, and transience. I was struck by that with the flowers and the people taking their family portraits, mm-hmm. and how they're just like the flowers, and mm-hmm. And just, you know, any sensations, feelings, body resistant. I mean, it's gonna pass through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allowing.
Allowing. Yeah. Thank you.
June. Really good discussion today. I wanted to refer back to or talk about that process of saying yes when you mean no, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with that for years, being an INFP also. Mm-hmm. The greatest thing about working with it, well, let's see. When I would say yes and no, when I would say yes from that inability to say no place, the passive aggressive actions would just heat up too, and there would be all this internal stuff, and then it would leak out, usually to people who were closest to me, as irritation and disdain and hostility and just little bits and pieces of that, just enough to be unpleasant. Mm-hmm. And I have one friend who will not put up with it at all, which is just an amazing blessing. It took me quite a long time to realize what a blessing it was. let's see. I think I can say that the vast majority of that karma has been burned away.
Uh-huh.
And what is still true is that wonderfully, almost all the time, my answer is yes. Uh-huh. But it's not from the inability to say no.
Wow. Wow. So the karma of saying yes when you mean no has vastly, you know, burned away. And what you're finding is what's there is almost invariably yes. But it's no longer from that place of inability to say no.
Yes. So one of the things in the vein that I often do of just exposing what's going on,
uh-huh.
this is a completely different subject.
Okay.
Internally, in the karma somewhere, there is this process where, like, I will meet someone, and it just triggers something, and all of a sudden, I'm just having conversation with this person internally all day and all night. Whatever. And I've noticed that many times. Kind of like the last conversation, what I saw this morning is that I need that word of resistance. It's going on today, it's going on during meditation. Mm-hmm. And Sudo Zen said, well, what you need to do is drop that and just get back present, just get here to the present, because it doesn't go on there. And you know, 15 seconds later, I'm back talking with this other projection of another person. And then this little voice came in that said, that's resistance. Just be grateful. Just find the gratitude for this thing that's triggering your, it's getting the look. So
in that
terms, that energy.
Big change of the energy from of resisting what is. I mean, if we want it, well, it's from resisting what is to accepting what is, and even being grateful for what is.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to be grateful for it because it's so distracting. But I will get there.
So what you said was what happens then is that either the voice dropped in, this is resistance.
Yeah.
And then, if I don't know if it's the same voice or the same nudging, but it was that gratitude is an option. And be grateful. Yeah. Be grateful for this, because this prompted you to look.
Yeah. And there's one more little moment of it. What I saw was just this morning is that in all of those conversations with whoever happens to have been put into that slot, it's about letting them know how cool I am. how very wise and learned. That's a real queasy point.
So whoever happens to be in that slot, the conversation is always about how cool I am, how wise.
Yes. I mean, that's the upshot.
Yeah, the upshot is...
I'm telling them things they don't know.
Yeah, okay. because you're wise and learned.
Yeah.
Yes. And so...
I'm going to save them.
You're going to save them?
I'm going to show them how wrong they are.
How wrong they are.
Oh, my God. It's so...
Well, and if that were you, then maybe that would be all. But what you're seeing is that, so there's that process that goes on, and the resistance.
Yeah, just accept it all, right?
Yeah.
Just drop the resistance in the other.
Because the resistance is what keeps
it
believable, helping you think it's you, and all of that kind of stuff. So
when the conversation starts and when the awareness arises of you in that conversation, it's weird in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
At that point,
there's
that.
Yeah, doesn't that seem what
do we say these days? This is what's arising.
This is what's here. This is what's here. Yeah. This is what's arising. Wow, it's really here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there it is. It's still here.
My experience is it wears itself out.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody else will jump in there.
And the thing is that you're not the one. You know, the clarity seems to be that's not June doing that, and it's not June that's resisting that. It's the awareness that's holding it all. You know? And what also coming to tie back in with what dropped into that field of awareness, there was some mentor or someone in there that pointed out that's resistance, and someone who saw that, who saw and recognized the possibility in that. Oh, that's resistance. Huh.